From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
All right. Welcome, welcome. Happy Saturday morning to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live from First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday from 10 to 12. This is the only place where I'd want to do my show. And the main reason is because the ambiance is fantastic here. I do my show. I have everything set up here. The tables were being broadcast live on YouTube. So just go to 1430 ESPN Fresno on YouTube, and it is there live. The sound is great on that. You get a little visual as well. And if you tune in there, or if you tune in on my Facebook account as well, you see all these Letterman's jackets to my left, to my right, behind me. It's just a great place to do a high school radio show. Got Bullard to our right, Hoover. Got Hoover in the house today. Excited to talk to some basketball Hall of Famers. We got Sierra Kerman, Fresno Christian. They're 6-1 in basketball. Actually, 7-1 boys basketball right now. Sanger to my left behind me. Some Clovis schools, Clovis High, Clovis North. So this is the only place where you can get your Letterman's jacket configured. Never fails. Every time I do a show, there's people getting their Letterman's jackets hooked up. So, come on down here on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Lots more stuff here. Obviously, it's a sporting goods store, too. So all your sporting goods needs as well. Well, guys, this is the last show of 2025. We're coming back hot next year, January 3rd, so no worries about that. We're finishing the school year. But last show of 2025, can you believe it? I'm going to take in the next 2 weeks off. It's my Christmas break. So we're contracted for 40 shows throughout the calendar year. So this is show number 40 of the year. And it's kind of a wrap-up show. We're going to have some guests in the house. So I did mention Hoover basketball. Some Hall of Famers are coming in. So on December 21st, they're going to have their Hall of Fame dinner ceremony. And Troy Brown and Tim Carey are coming in. They're being inducted this year. I've known Troy for a long time. I went to college with Troy. He's a Hoover legend, a basketball legend in the area. Played at Fresno Pacific College. Yes, college back then, now university. Tim Carey, longtime athletic director, still involved with the school. Excited to have those guys, man. We're going to chop it up. That's going to be a very, very fun segment. That's going to be around 10:30-ish. Let me just think a few sponsors. Got ahead of myself a little bit, but I'm excited about talking with Tim and Troy. Wanted to thank Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply for sponsoring the show, located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. Also want to thank Elite Performance Center, Fresno County Superintendent of Schools, and Raw Farms, who sponsors our 1430 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week. So I mentioned last show of 2025. Again, thank you guys for listening, for supporting the show, supporting athletics, high school athletics especially, in the Central Section. 44 degrees right now, right? What's up with this gloominess? The sun, I think, is coming out today. It came out yesterday for about 45 minutes, it seemed like. Then went back hiding behind the clouds, whatever this is, fog, mist, whatever you want to call it. So I think it's coming out around 2 o'clock today for a little bit. And, yeah, it's been gloomy. That's the best word to describe it. But a lot of good action tonight. There are three Central Section championship games tonight. There was one last night. Did I say Central Section champ? Central Section teams playing in a state championship. There was a game last night that I was able to watch on the network. And Bakersfield Christian was playing St. Mary's of Stockton in the D2 AA championship. I went on Phil Benatti's show yesterday saying that Bakersfield Christian had a really good chance of winning that football game. I was actually expecting them to win. And Heartbreak City for them. Heartbreak City. It was a back-and-forth game. They were playing catch-up a little bit. They actually had a chance to take the lead with under 2 minutes left. They had first and goal from the 5, down 27-24. Ran a couple wildcat plays that didn't go anywhere. Ran a fade that was incomplete, then lined up for a field goal and missed it. So they tried to tie the game, forced overtime. Obviously, I think there was like 140-something left in the game when they tried the field goal. And their field goal kicker has been amazing all season. Kicked a 40-yarder earlier in the game. So the season, unfortunately, for Bakersfield Christian came to an end. Their perfect season, Darren Carr and his brothers did an amazing job. They were all there at the game, obviously. Dave calling plays. Great season for them. Got moved up to the D1 single A bracket in the central section and won the whole dang thing. And right, those are the moments in life that, right, that you remember for a long time. But a great season for Bakersfield Christian. All right, so later today at 3:30, kind of an odd start time, man. I wish Central East was playing later in the day. Would have had a chance to go to it. They're playing Pacifica Oxnard, who is 15-0. They are undefeated this season. This is the D1 single-A final. It's going to be played at Saddleback College. And last night's game, gosh, the fog, it was in the Folsom game, the fog was just blanketed all over the field. So I don't know if that's going to happen tonight again. It's pretty wild. I think we're still in a fog advisory here in the Valley. So I don't know what the temperature is going to be like. I don't think it matters that much because you guys know how much of a role Central East is on this season, especially right now. Check out these numbers really quick. What do you think these numbers mean? 56, 50, 46, 61, 46, 56, 53, 70, and 55. That is the point total that Central East has put up their last 9 games. Unbelievable, averaging 55 points a game. Some of those games were running clocks in the fourth quarter. So that is the type of offense that Central East is bringing in to tonight's game. Jelani Dipple, the quarterback, having an amazing season. Do you guys know that he's leading the state in passing yards and touchdowns? Over 4,200 passing yards, 56 touchdowns on the year, leading the state. Bayon Harris, he's fourth in the state in receiving yards, 25 touchdowns. He's up among the state leaders as well. We all know all about Brandon Smith. He had 38 carries in last week's win to go to the state championship game. 38 carries in a high school football game. The guy's an absolute dude. I think if they win, Central East wins tonight, that Brandon Smith is going to win Mr. Football in the state of California by Cal High Sports. I'm going to advocate him. Absolutely. So, big game tonight. Pacifica Oxnard, 15-0. I can kind of compare them to Pittsburgh of last week, the Central beat. But not as talented. I think Pittsburgh is actually more talented than this Pacifica team. They played each other in 7-on-7 during the summer. And I think a lot of you guys know my feelings about 7-on-7. It's not real football. Right? There's no pressure on the quarterback. Things got a little chippy between those two, so they're very familiar with each other. Now it's big boy football. You're putting on the pads. You're scheming. Right? It's a different game. So they're familiar with each other a little bit, but it's going to be a good game. 3:30 again. You could watch on the networks there. I'm going to be watching it on my phone or my iPad. So good luck to Coach Kyle Biggs. We know about their state championship in 2019, so gunning for their second one. And Cal High Sports does an amazing job previewing the game, putting up stats and history and all that. And they predict Central East to win tonight. They do. I didn't write down the score, not on the webpage. But, yeah, they predict. I think it was a 2-touchdown. So, again, 3:30 Central East. Division 5A, Bishop Union, our Central Section D5 champs. They're in the state championship game. They're playing today at 3. They're playing Calaveras of San Andreas. They were the Sac Joaquin Section D7 champs. So, yeah, they go all the way down to D7. We got D6. So, Bishop Union playing tonight, or sorry, this afternoon at 3. And then tonight at 7, Kennedy of Delano, they're playing McClymans of Oakland for the D3A title. McClymans, they got a lot of history. They're going for their fifth state title. Kennedy in their first state championship game. Reading Cal High Sports, kind of summarizing what Cal High Sports said about that game. They're predicting Climbers to win the football game. They were actually surprised they were not placed in a higher division. So I don't like reading that. I don't like the sound of that, because what does that mean? They're too low, right? So they got a really good football team. But Kennedy, they can slow down the football game. They have a wing T offense. If the Climbers isn't ready for it, hey, you know, what are they going to do if Kennedy has a 6-7 minute drive like they've been known to this season, right? That's what Kennedy's going to have to do. Score in the red zone. Don't turn the ball over. Ball possession. All right, so there's a little bit of a preview of the state championship games that will be going on today. I did mention that Troy Brown, Tim Carey coming on the show live here at First String Sports. That's going to be a great conversation. Really excited about that one. Hour number two, like I mentioned, it's going to be a wrap-up show, especially the last hour. I wanted to do this. I've actually never done this before, but I'm bringing in a couple of coaches, and we're going to talk about the high school football season as a whole, in general. What's working, what's not working, what needs to be changed, what's still great about high school football. Is the transfers becoming a big issue? Right, remember that big scandal busted out about, 6 weeks ago maybe, down south, about the money man that was literally paying families to go to different schools? He was just this gambler who would said, yeah, if I won 150 grand on a bet, you know, that's the money I would use, you know, to influence high school football in SoCal. What? Yes. We're not there. I hope not. I'm not saying anything, guys. I'm just saying that's what happened down south. But, man, if that ever happened in the central section, imagine the scandal with that. But we're going to just talk about, man, is there potential for something like that happening in the central section, right? What safeguards do we have to stop that? Are kids more scholarship chasing? Anyway, we're going to hit a lot of topics, and the two coaches I'm bringing in, two guys that I've really enjoyed getting to know over the last couple of years, Ross Wood from Buchanan. They had a really good season, exceeded expectations, played Central East twice. I was actually leading them at halftime during track play. He's coming on along with Yosef Ferris from Justin Garza. Yosef is a friend of the show. So we're going to tackle all those topics and a little bit more. It'll be a fun conversation. The last 10 minutes I've reserved for Trevor Horn. Trevor's been on the show numerous times. He's down at Bakersfield. He was at the Bakersfield Christian game last night. I don't know if he's going to go to the Central game. I'm not sure. So we'll ask him about that. Ask him a few questions about what he liked about the season, some of the cool things that popped out in his mind. So Trevor's going to end the 2025 season of the Central Valley Sports Report. All right, I'll take a break right now. There were some basketball games this week, a lot of really good tournaments. We were able to broadcast one last night at Clovis West. Clovis West and South. There's a championship game tonight that you guys aren't going to want to miss. All right, might as well say it right now. San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis West are playing in the Clovis West Nike Tournament Championship at 7 o'clock. Guys got to go check it out. I'll be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So Tanvir Singh, who's producing the show, was able to be on the broadcast. I'm going to bring him on. We can talk about some Christmas stuff, right? Christmas movies and talk about the game and a little bit more basketball stuff. Then we'll bring on Tim and Troy. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back, Central Valley Sports Report. And I remember hearing that song for the first time in junior high. I was like, hold on, this is a rock song and they're using keyboards? You can't use piano/keyboards in a rock song. So that changed the tide, I think, at least for me, with rock and roll and keyboards. And then you go back and you listen, oh my gosh, you know, there have been rock bands, obviously, you know, Boston and them, that have used keyboards in the past. So I distinctly remember that, walking back from junior high and hearing that song. But anyway. Little nostalgia. We got some nostalgia here coming up after the break with a couple Hoover Hall of Famers. Tim and Troy were just in here right now and chopping it up a little bit. That's going to be a fun conversation. But before we hit that, we got a lot of basketball stuff that's going on right now. This is a season for tournaments. And the big one at Clovis West has returned. Eight schools this year. The Clovis West Nike Invitational is able to take advantage of their free food system and watch some basketball. So really good combo for me this week. Been a lot of fun. I know the Andrew Bedoya Holiday Classic is going on at Dinuba, and that's old school, man. And what do I mean by that? 16 teams in a bracket, right? Most of the tournaments now are pool play and right matchups and tiebreakers and all that stuff. But give me an old school bracket, right? 16 teams, you win your first game, you're in the winner's bracket. You lose your first game, can't make your way to the championship game, right? Go to the loser's bracket. So That's happening down in Dinuba. There's some games at CVC as well. So tonight, Kingsburg and Tulare made it to the championship game. I believe it's at 7 o'clock. Kingsburg defeated Dinuba in the semifinals. Tulare defeated CVC. So that's going to be a high-level basketball game, man. I think Kingsburg's a top 10 team in the Central Section. Tulare might be. It might be one of those bubble teams. Very athletic team. Kingsburg beat Clovis West this year. You know, Jace Kellogg wasn't playing, but still a great win for Kingsburg. I did mention the Clovis West and San Joaquin Memorial Championship game tonight. I know that one for sure is at 7 o'clock. And we broadcasted the South of Bakersfield and Clovis West game last night. South actually came in at 10-0. Unfortunately for them, their best player was not on the court, coach's son. Sprained his ankle the night before. Really looking forward to watching him play. He wasn't able to play. But Clovis West looked pretty good. A young team. Freshmen and sophomores on the court. Right? I mean, significant minutes. Jace Kellogg, 24 points last night. Stud player. We know what he's done for the last couple years. Had 34 points a couple games ago. Before I bring in Tanvir Singh to talk about that game, I want to mention Clovis High. Right? Let's be honest. The last, 10 years, they haven't had a lot of success on the boys' basketball side. Lee Mayberry has taken over the program. That name sounds familiar. Still involved in the community. Played basketball at Fresno State. Clovis High has some dudes. They got some players this year. They are in that tournament. I watched their game against San Joaquin Memorial. Memorial went up 27-6, played a phenomenal first quarter. Defensively, offensively, everything was clicking. But quarters 2, 3, and 4, Clovis High hung with them. Right? They did not give up. They played all the way through, played hard in the fourth quarter. Defensively, they looked pretty good. So Clovis High, improved team. I'm going to bring on Coach Mayberry in January. He promised to come on the show. Wasn't able to work out last week. So, yeah, that program is definitely on the uptick. All right, so Tanvir, I want to bring him on right now. Before we get into the game, I want to ask you about your favorite Christmas movies. I know you're a few years younger than me. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Just a few.
I'm just curious about your generation. Like maybe the ones you grew up on. Like of course with me. We're Elf, Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation. Those are movies we grew up on. Home Alone. You could throw that in there as well. But we were talking about this off air. You came up with some doozies, man. You were making me laugh with some of your favorites. So like what do you hold on to?
I mean, Home Alone is definitely the one for me that I definitely grew up on. But I came to you with Die Hard. Obviously that's been a point of contention in the Christmas movie realm. Is it a Christmas movie? Is it a Christmas movie or is it not? Jingle All the Way is also another one that I really like. And Elf as well. Elf is also one that
good
I really
call.
Like. So.
Good call on the Elf. Jingle All the Way. Yeah, that one I had to laugh at. But Die Hard, right? People say there's two types of people in the world. Those that think Die Hard's a Christmas movie and those that don't, right? That's how you separate the different types of people. So, I mean, it takes place during Christmas time, obviously.
Exactly.
Was it made to be a Christmas movie? I'm not sure about that. But, yeah, a lot of people categorize it. I do, too, right? And my daughter watched it with her husband last week because they had trivia night on Tuesday. And it was all about Die Hard being a Christmas movie. So they went back and watched it. They're like, hey, that's actually a pretty good movie. Yeah, it's a classic 80s action movie that some people,
Yes.
I could put myself in that Corey Thinks at Christmas movie. All right. And I'm going to ask the other guys, too. I mean, this is basically the Christmas wrap-up episode of 2025. So here we go.
Here's another underrated one before we get to it. Nightmare Before Christmas. It's an underrated animation movie. I really like that one. But, yeah, let's get to the
basketball. That's a Halloween slash Christmas movie. Yeah, well, there's one more. I got to throw this out there. And you just Google Christmas movies, and there's Bad Santa. Yeah. Right, there's kind of the darkest movies. There's one called Terrifier 3.
Yeah,
I have no idea why that one. That's random.
That is
no
so
idea
random
why that's
well.
Up there. All right. So you sat to my left watching last night's basketball game. You did a great job with some stats. So what are some things about watching Clovis West boys basketball last night that stuck out to you?
I really liked there was a really good duo, in my opinion, in Jace Kellogg and Hunter Bradford. They were really connecting well, especially in the second half. Jace Kellogg obviously being the point guard, being able to run ISO ball whenever he wants to and get to the bucket. And I think that's something that can really propel a team forward, especially in basketball, and I think he's certainly a guy that can do that. He had 24 points last night, 3 rebounds. He had 5 steals, so he's doing it on the defensive side of the ball. Yes, he had a little bit of that a cut issue on his thumb that took him out for about 4 minutes, but otherwise, Jace Kellogg really played well last night. But I really liked how Clovis West was able to break down the perimeter pressure of South Bakersfield. Obviously, South Bakersfield not playing full court press, that allows them to just intake pressure. But Clovis West was doing really well in breaking that down, especially in the second half, because it was affecting them in that first quarter.
Yeah, I agree. And Jace Kellogg, have you seen a better Euro step at the high school level?
Oh, right? It was beautiful.
Like in person?
Yeah,
you could tell he works on that stuff.
For sure. I mean, just the angles he was taking were very impressive.
I agree. All right. We were rooting for Bradford. You were rooting for the double-double because he needed a bucket, and he
yes.
missed one late for the double. I wanted him to get 20 rebounds. He had 16 with, 2.5 minutes left, so it wasn't out of the question.
For
What'd the score end up? 63-47? Does that sound right?
Something around that, yes.
Okay.
I'll double-check that.
All right. Yeah. So what impressed you with some of those young guys? I know Castro, the freshman, a couple
yes.
early dunks, right? A couple nice rebounds and put back. So a young core, right, with Jace Kellogg, but what did you like about some of those young guys getting those minutes?
Yeah, I really liked Castro. I thought he had a very impressive athleticism to him, especially at the – he's a freshman, I believe. You know, Clovis West beating South 63-45, that is definitely due to the fact that it wasn't just Jace Kellogg. I mean, you had – how many was it? 8 scorers on this team, and all of them contributed to the lead ballooning because of their defense as well. I think the interior defense of Clovis West was working really well. The pressure was really getting to South in that second half, especially on the perimeter. They were picking him up full court and really emphasizing the defense, especially when we got to the latter stages when it was about a 4-point lead. And South were just not able to hit the same shots that they were in the first half.
I agree. They smelled blood on the water, did Clovis West. They took advantage of that late in the fourth quarter. Hey, good job by you. It was fun sitting next to you watching that basketball game. And the stats definitely helped, man. They bring a different element to the game we're able to share with people listening. So good job by you last night. We're going to take a break. I'm going to bring on Tim Carey and Troy Brown. Hoover Basketball Hall of Famers coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. This is going to be a great conversation. Excited for you guys to hear it. 21st of this month, Hoover Hall of Fame is having a ceremony. 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
Where at?
At the Hoover Event Center.
Hoover Event Center. Hoover, longtime traditionalist with basketball, man. Basketball history and teams and championships and players goes back a long way. And Tim Carey and Troy Brown are going to be inducted. The only two members, right, this year
Correct.
Being inducted. Yeah. So good stuff. Thank you guys for coming, first of all. Troy, this is going to be about 20 minutes, so I don't know. You know, I know you're a big storyteller guy. So Tim, maybe you got to give him a little elbow or something. If he goes on too long, tell him to wrap it up because you're closest to him right now.
Yeah, I got. I'll keep him in check. I got him.
Yeah, thank you guys.
But Tim, this place is pretty familiar. I mean, look, first of all, it's hopping with all these people here, first string sports. But you've been here before, right? For a couple of reasons.
Yeah, I've been here quite a few times, and you know, luckily for me, I get to come in and do work and still see my son while I'm working. So. Since you get to watch him right now doing busy stuff.
He's got a pair of scissors right now. He's cutting something. So he earns money cutting paper, apparently.
Cutting paper. That's what they do with the retail manager. Got to cut the paper up on a Saturday morning.
So. I'm curious, Tim, you know, now that you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, your wife is in the San Joaquin Memorial Hall of Fame?
She is, yeah. Correct.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
So when you walk into the house or walk in, you know, to first string sports, how is Ryan supposed to address you? Right? Like a Hall of Fame. Here, ladies and gentlemen, Hoover Hall of Fame inductee, Tim Carey. Like, what do you want him to say when you're walking into a building or house?
Well, I just want to make sure when I walk in that, you know, he takes care of me first and puts all the other customers or no, I'm kidding. No, it's fun to come in and see him in here, and you know, my wife will remind me that she got in the Hall of Fame before I did, so you know, she'll keep me in check.
That's great. Love it.
Troy, Letterman's jacket room. Where's Hoover's? Where is it at? Right behind you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where is it? No.
No.
Here it is, right here, to my right. To my right, down here.
Hoover Pates.
Did you get one of those? You have one?
You know what? I don't think I ever got a Letterman's jacket. I have no idea why. I don't recall it. I remember other people. My wife's Letterman's jacket is still up in the closet somewhere at home. Karen. A lot of people know Karen Murray from the day.
You don't. Okay. It's never too late.
Yeah.
What size would you have to bring out for you, though?
I think it's a little bigger than my playing weight. I think I played it 185 pounds. I think right now I'm about 235 on a good day after a good workout.
Sure.
So Ryan can help him out.
There you go. All right. It's never too late, man.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
All right. You're not 60 yet. Are you 59?
I am 58.
You're 58,
Thank
so you're not
for
yet 50.
Aging me. I appreciate
well,
that.
I mean, 1985 grad, we could do the math.
Yeah,
but I'm just
17.
Saying.
I was 17 when I graduated. I was a youngster.
You were a youngster. Yeah, yeah. All right. I was just going to say, 58-year-old man buys Letterman's jacket, walks in for first string sport. Why not? Let's
Why
make
not?
That a thing.
I think that's a good idea. I just want the 85 rates. I don't know what that was. It was probably $32 back in the day. I'll take that.
I'll talk to the manager.
I don't think first string was in business in 85 when they did, so it's a free
we
jacket.
We can look that up.
Yeah, free jacket.
All right. I'm curious how you guys found out. Obviously, a lot of great teams in the past, a lot of great players for you guys to be inducted. It has to be a phenomenal honor. Obviously, Tim, you're still involved with the school. Troy, you know, being you know, coaching and playing after your time at Hoover. But Tim, how did you find out you were going to be inducted? Phone call, email?
Coach Archie gave me a call. I was out getting ready for an elementary cross country meet or middle school cross country meet, and he called me up and he's just like, "Hey, big time! You know, we got to talk." And I said, "All right, what's up, Coach?" And he says, "You know, I want to let you know we're going to be putting you into the Basketball Hall of Fame." And it was a great phone call to get. And, you know, I've been part of Hoover for, well, I mean, I was there for 33 years and did a lot of stuff from athletic training to AD and coaching and spent 3 years coaching the basketball program. So it was really very exciting to get that call.
Who was the first person you told after you got that call?
Oh, absolutely, my wife.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah. Troy, what about for you?
Well, Tizelle gave me a call. I was kind of surprised. It just kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't know it was coming. And it was an honor because Tizelle was such a great player for such a long time, I think, at Pepperdine University after Hoover High School. And it was just kind of an honor getting it from him. He was also one of the kids I coached when I was an assistant for Ron Moore. And he was probably the most coachable kid I've seen in 30-something years I've done. So that's one of the reasons why it was such an honor to hear it from him, and he's doing a great job over there at Hoover High School.
Oh, he is. He's doing a great job. Like, who did you call? Did you call your wife too right away or text?
I called Brown Sugar. That's also Karen Brown. So I
is that what it says in your phone?
Yeah.
Brown Sugar.
No, it does.
It does in my phone too. It's
yeah.
It's
and
Brown Sugar.
The R is silent. It's Brown Sugar.
Brown Sugar.
So no, it was good. I give her a call and she said, "I don't know how that happened," and so we went from there.
Who's the better shooter?
Well, so
come on.
Here's Here's the great thing about this. Peter Sharkey, who was one of the great coaches and great characters
Absolutely.
In Fresno Unified history, wonderful human being, coached Karen. And so often when we were at events, he would say, "Hey, how does it feel to be the third best player in your family?" You know, because, you know, Karen played professional basketball in Amsterdam. My daughter played at Arkansas State, you know, and I went over and played at Fresno Pacific. And a lot of people think I might be the fourth best player out of five in my family. So I heard that a lot, you know, so it was good. It was fun.
Tim, so you started off, is it true? Help me out here. You started off, obviously, you're East Coast guy,
yep.
Right? How, you made your way to California, Fresno State, and then got involved pretty quickly at Hoover as athletic director.
I actually, my best friend was going to Berkeley to get his doctorate in chemistry, and I figured, you know, I'll apply for some jobs, go out to California for a year or two, and I got hired to be the athletic trainer through St. Agnes at Hoover for 25 hours a week and $500 a month. So we loaded up my pickup, we drove out here, and started doing that. So I was the athletic trainer for 12 years, and then I took over as AD and did that for 16. And in the middle of all that, I was coaching, and started my coaching with Scott Blackburn, assisting him with JV basketball 1 year, and then I took over the freshman for a couple of years. I was fortunate enough to coach, you know, Matt Kemper and Mike Urata and Todd Earnhardt, that whole crew that went on to should have won the Valley Championship. Ran into a buzzsaw of Clovis West with, you know, questionable. But no, it was great time. And I got to coach the girls' lacrosse program for the first 13 years doing that. So
did an amazing job with that. I mean, that's for another segment one of these years, how you brought lacrosse, brought a lot of championships and notoriety and what, National Coach of the Year, I think.
I did
as
get
well.
National Coach of the Year, yeah. That was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Troy, right, you're a Hoover guy through and through, elementary. You're not a McArdle kid or anything. Where
no,
are you? Where
I was
you?
At Eaton Eagle, which Eaton is right Eagle. Down the street from McArdle.
Okay.
So I actually came in the fourth grade there, and I started hooping over there.
Were those courts right there, those same courts right there off the street?
Yeah, they're still there. Still there. My mom lives down the street still, so. And I teach adaptive physical education over at Eaton right now, so it's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then junior high, Ahwahnee?
Junior high was at Ahwahnee.
Right.
And then we actually were bused to Roosevelt back then. There was no ninth graders at Hoover High School, and then we came back into Hoover my sophomore year. So we really didn't start Hoover until the 10th grade year. And then that happened for a couple years, and I think the Bullard kids went over to Edison, and we went to Roosevelt, and then it came back where they just let everyone go to their home school.
I think that was my first year at Hoover was when freshmen were back at Hoover.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know that. News to me. All right. What are some cool memories? We chatted a little bit off air, especially about that, the gym, right, the original gym. What is it called now? Is it West?
The West Gym.
The West Gym. The original gym. That's what a lot of people remember back in the day. What are some memories that pop into your mind? You'll probably be asked this at the Hall of Fame ceremony, but what are some memories that pop when you think about that gym and the games played there?
Well, I still remember I probably collided into that wall multiple times during a game. I mean, it literally was the baseline, and then the wall was probably about 3 feet.
Not even.
Yeah, it might not even been 3 feet.
But you had size 13 feet, you were against the wall and inbound.
Yeah, so to hit that over and over, and, you know, if you're athletic enough where you can get up there and to land was probably about a foot, and then you ran into that wall. It was every time when you went to the rim. I think that's why I went baseline a lot, so I didn't have to run into that wall. So you used to call me Baseline Brown. I think that was probably something I used to do. So you hit that wall.
And the three-point line wasn't around when you played.
It wasn't around. In fact, I went into Fresno City's gym the next year, and no one told me. I just worked out the whole summer, right? No one told me. I walk in that gym, and there's a line sitting there. And I go, my God, is that the three-point line? because
you've heard rumors of such a thing.
Yeah. And I said, wow, I can get 3 points for this thing.
Is there a specific game or maybe a play that you remembered besides avoiding the wall and breaking your arm?
Well, I mean, Rob Pardini broke his arm in the West Gym. I think we went up. I went up and I think it was me, and I ran into him. I tried to block him off the glass, and I ran. He slammed right in there, fell right to the ground, and I believe he broke his arm. I still see him once in a while. I saw him in Europe a couple summers ago, and he talked about that moment.
You guys should have had like a broken arm count, right there on the wall, broken wrist, broken hand.
Ankles would get jammed into that wall all the time.
So yeah, more than championships and banners and with all the broken stuff we had over the years. That wall that came up quick.
And you had some crazy lunchtime faculty pickup.
Yeah,
no referees, no fouls called stuff there.
We had some wannabe ballers at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Obviously you had Troy and, Pat Plummer, who never got a foul called on him in his life. And,
right.
Don Robinson would sit in the corner and just bury threes all day like it was nothing. And even Don Boleyn would pop in early on. And he'd come in, he'd hit a three and just go up in his office and come back and hit another three and go do some work. And Rick Lyons and a whole bunch of them. We had some fun time at lunch for years playing there and some great games. And but that gym was really special. I mean, it was nothing like it when that place was hopping. It's like in the early 90s. I mean, a couple of games I remember very good. But like playing Edison when Mike Pemberley was here with us, and Mike was the 6'1" guard that he could shoot, but Edison found out that he could also dunk, and he dunked on Edison. It was an unbelievable play, and place went crazy. And then probably my favorite play was, as unfortunately, was our kid was got the brunt of it. But David Stretch, great kid, he's phenomenal. Still stay in touch with him. But he was, buck 40 if he was lucky, and he was guarding Terrell Woods, and
Edison, right?
Yeah, and Terrell was a man at 12, and he got an offensive foul called on Terrell, and Terrell buried him into the floor, and he picked him up and said, "Next time I'm dunking on you." And David, got eyes got real wide, and next time down, Terrell just cleared the floor out, came down, and he threw it down on top of David, and David came off the floor, and Ron said, "What happened?" He goes, "He told me he was going to dunk on me, and he dunked on me." So it was pretty funny, but I still hear it every day as Ron getting your attention during the game when he would hit the bleachers with his heel. He'd smack it.
That's when you knew it was serious.
That's when the kids would turn.
Yeah.
Gotcha, coach. So I tried that when I was coaching. It didn't have the same effect. They're like, whatever.
Troy, some of those things resonate with you, right? I mean, Woods dunking. Like, how loud would that gym get sometimes?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, one of the great rivals back in the 80s was Hoover Edison, and Edison had an amazing gym, and so do we. I mean, they would turn back. That JV game was completely packed every time you went, so that was kind of cool for the JV players. I still remember playing JV basketball and seeing like Tim McDonald, the great player from Edison High School. But getting to play in front of those people and then getting excited about that the next year. But, yeah, those gyms were packed. And, Edison High School had, I think in the 84-85 team, had 6 Division I players on the team from sophomores to seniors. Just unbelievable talent out in the Valley. And we had, Greg Van Grove went to Idaho State. He had McClendon, who went to Sac State. He had multiple players. We had kids on our team that were soccer players, like Eric Wilson, who went on to play for a great Fresno State team. I think El Goriaga, back then the top 20 soccer team. He was on our basketball team. So, he played both sports. So we had some great talent around us, and it was great memories, yeah.
When did you realize, hey, you went to Fresno Pacific. That's where we got to know each other. Like, this basketball game is pretty darn fun, right? And you could get into coaching and play your hoop it up, right?
Yeah,
we could talk about your hoop it up stuff as well. But like, when you realize, man, this basketball gig is a pretty good activity for me to do?
Well, when I got a chance to travel all over the world, I got a chance to play all over the country. They'd fly us around when we, you know, after Fresno, during Fresno Pacific, you're playing all over, right? And you're playing with great players and great teammates and with good coaches. And then when I left Fresno Pacific, got an opportunity to play on a lot of those hoop it up teams and travel all over the world. And I got asked to go coach over in Europe. It's all because of the basketball, right? And so that's when I realized I'm pretty lucky and I'm blessed to have a chance to play. You know, when you're 17, 18, 19, you don't think of that at all. So, but it was good. I enjoyed that. So,
Tim, what do you think? What do you think about this sweatshirt, man, that you brought in here to First Street? It's a one of one.
This is a Patriot Athletic sweatshirt. We had years ago, when I think when I first started as AD, we had one of our great athletes from Hoover, Russ Smithson, wrestling. He had started up a company, and we were doing business with him. And I told him I needed a nice champion sweatshirt, and this showed up on my desk. So it's, you know, was one of a kind, and still hide in the closet, pull it out. You know, I have to kind of bury the Hoover stuff a little bit, being at the district office.
Yeah, I know. You can wear it today.
I can wear it today. This is a Hoover day, so absolutely.
This is a Hoover day.
So it's kind of cool. I have probably enough Hoover stuff to fill this room.
Yeah. What are some other cool memories, Tim, that you have of Hoover or Fresno Unified Athletics? You know, a lot of people think of the quote unquote, whatever you want to call it, the glory days when, you know, you just look forward to the Fresno Bee opening up and see the games before and see whose picture got in the paper. And heck, I remember clipping out box scores from basketball and putting them in tournament brackets, like, right. Those types of days, you know, today's different. Let's just put it that way. But like, what's some of the differences or some of the things that you loved back in the day compared to now?
You know, I was very fortunate to be placed at Hoover. And, you know, I started there in 89, and, you know, I was 22 years old, and, you know, I was here for about a week, and I had to shave off my mullet. It was just, it had to go. It was too hot. This 105-degree heat was ridiculous. But, you know, I got to work with the people that were at Hoover, you know, with Pat Plummer, Rick Lyons, Peter Sharkey, Ron Moore. You know, Hal Froese was teaching there, and, you know, just all these just legendary people, and I got blessed to work with them. You know, I got to know Jack Hanna, and, you know, and Dale Hamill was a great friend of mine, and just, you know, amazing. And our sports were fantastic. Our water polo, aquatics programs were great, our basketball programs and football, and it was a fun time to be around. And you know, Dara Johnson, who's now the athletic director, she took over for me and doing a fantastic job there. But she was a junior in high school when I started at Hoover. You know, Tori Nolan, longtime soccer coach, was a freshman at Hoover. Jeremy Wright was a junior at Hoover. He's our longtime golf coach and teaching. All three of them still teaching at Hoover. So it's just, you know, seeing stuff like that and getting to know them as students, but then they're coming back to teach at Hoover. And you see that other schools and, you know, got to know people over the years that didn't go to Hoover, but, you know, they knew me through Hoover or, you know, various things. And now being at the district office for the last 4 years and my first year taking over high school, and it's fun. I mean, I got paid to watch sports for 37 years. That's kind of a fun gig.
It's a good gig.
And I did spend a few years in the classroom right next door to him. So that's like a two show just going on of that hallway. It was myself, then Troy, then Peter Sharkey, and Buzz Nitschke was at the end of the hallway.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And then John Trutner was the classroom behind us, and Rick was running around the corner. I mean, it was just an amazing group out there in the bungalows.
If those walls could talk. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You're right. We got to do another segment. We've only got another minute, which is crazy. Troy, for you, just kind of wrap up what this means to you and what it means to be a Hall of Famer.
Well, I'm just blessed. I really am. And Tim talks a bit. I really think my best moments or my best thoughts are on the times with Peter Sharkey and Tim Carey and John Tretton at those lunches, and just learning from a lot of the veteran guys, the veteran coaches, because you know, as a young coach, you struggle with a lot of things, and those guys just giving you that advice, and and losing to him, Tim Carey, all the time. I must have lost 20 bets in a row, and we always bet the Me and Ed's Pizza over there, and I think I lost 20 straight against him.
I think you did. Yeah. Week one, he said the Dolphins were making the playoffs. Yeah. So I'm like, okay.
But Tom Brady was a no-name at that time. And so Tom Brady starts, and I go, oh, I don't know, who is this guy? And I must have lost 20 straight bets.
Yeah. Good times.
And you got to follow Tom Brady, Larry Bird, all those wonderful athletes from that area as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, this time went way too fast. We're going to have to do this again, man. We'll chop up some more stories, but Hall of Fame, Tim Carey, Troy Brown, December 21st at the Special Event Center. Time again, 6?
6 o'clock.
Yep. 6 o'clock.
Yep, 6 o'clock. Tickets are still on sale. You can contact Tazelle Archie or the Hoover Boys Basketball Program or, come on out.
Come on up.
It'll be a fun night.
All right, excellent stuff. Hey, thanks, guys, for coming on. I really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun.
Glad to
be here.
Thank you,
Paul.
All right, we'll take a break, and we're going to have hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN, live here. First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue, in between Sierra and Herndon. The last show of 2025. The days are long, right? Days are long, but the years and months are certainly short. Blessed to talk about high school sports here in the Central Valley. Blessed to call games. Hopefully you guys are able to listen to games and just hear about the wonderful student athletes here in the Central section. And have really good talk. That's why I like to stay on the positive side and, talk about issues every once in a while. And I'm using this show as a wrap-up show, right? Talk about some of the things that went on this season, especially this last football season. So that great conversation with Tim Carey and Troy Brown from Hoover. I wish I had more time with those guys. Just wonderful stories. Being inducted into the Hoover Hall of Fame. We didn't even talk about some of the great Hoover teams of the past, man, because that gym, I tell you what, the HIT tournament during this time was the tournament in the Central Valley, man. That thing was rocking. It was absolutely packed. So, again, congrats to those two guys. I want to turn our attention now to the football season. We got those three state championship games tonight with Central East, Kennedy, and Bishop Union. I wanted to bring on a couple coaches, give some perspective on not only their seasons, but the football season as a whole, where we're headed, what football is going to look like in the future. I mean, just lots of stuff. Heck, in the last 4 or 5 years, lots of things have changed. It's kind of post-pandemic stuff. So Yosef Ferris, friend of the show, is here from Justin Garza High School, Ross Wood from Buchanan High School. I thought of these two guys. It would be great, get different perspective. We got track. We got CMAC. We got guys that have been in the game for a while. So, first of all, thanks, guys, for coming. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, so what are we rocking? You got your kind of your Belichick, Justin Garza, no sleeve. What are you calling your sweatshirt?
I don't know. I mean,
it's cool. It's a hoodie.
If it's free, give me three. That's what I say.
You point the catalog and take it. I talked with a producer a little bit, like just about traditions and movies. Are you guys into that stuff at all in the Christmas time? Like, what are some you guys got? Like, you're just kind of hanging on the couch, maybe scrolling through some movies. Is there a Christmas movie or something you gotta pop on, or what's that look like for you guys?
Well, my go-to is Die Hard, but the wife says that's not a Christmas movie. So Elf's always been a classic for me, for sure.
Die Hard. So there's, like I said, there's two types of people in the world. Those that think Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
Absolutely.
Those that don't. You're on the yes.
Yeah.
You're on the yes.
No doubt about it.
Me too.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, watch it there.
I know. That's where I stopped. I stopped right there. Yeah, I mean, Elf, I mean, the classics, right?
Yeah, so Yosef. It's big in our house. So, I mean, as soon as Thanksgiving's over, my wife starts decorating and everything comes out. And then December 1st, we have to watch Home Alone. So it starts with Home Alone. And then the client slowly works its way to, Elf. And Christmas Vacation is one me and the wife love to watch together. My favorite is Christmas Story. I love The Christmas Story. I don't know why.
You'll shoot your eye out?
Maybe it's just because it was on 24 hours
when I was growing up.
And I would just sit there and watch it over and over again. But The Christmas Story is my favorite movie.
And you have young kids.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And you have young kids too, right, Ross?
Yeah.
Do you find Home Alone getting worse or better as you watch it? I feel like it's getting worse. It's so silly. Right, Home Alone? Or you? The kids love it.
My kids love it.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, they love it. My wife loves it. She can quote every line in the movie. So I'm going to refrain from saying anything bad about it because I know she's listening right now.
All right. So. All right, we'll leave it at that. Christmas decorations are up. I mean, what are we? 13th, 12 days away, which is pretty wild. Where are you guys at when let's say, when your seasons are particularly over? Are you a casual fan throughout the year? Are you, like, all in? Like, how are you still following, like, who wins the Central Section Championships and who's playing in state? Like, where's your interest level at, Yosef?
So, you know, when my season ends, I kind of shut it down. Now I'll follow casually, like, online and whatnot, but, you know, for me, it's – I got to let go and let my mind reset. You know, obviously I'll keep track on Max Preps, on game nights, what's going on. I'll check in with guys and you know, wish them luck and whatnot. But for me, I'm shutting it down. I'm out. Casual fan, just checking Max Preps, see who's winning.
Ross, what about for you?
Yeah, I think the season itself takes a lot out of you just in general. So when your season's done, you know, you gotta take a step back and take a breath and relax for a little bit. But, you know, I think being a high school football coach, you always want to know what's going on. Who's doing what? How are they scored this touchdown? You know, all the interest is still there. So you're following it, but I'm not, you know, driving to go to a game or anything, that matter. Right. I'm just following along and making sure, you know, guys are still playing good football and there's good stuff out there.
And texting coaches, right? Sure. Like, checking in on guys. All right, so, Ross, I want to ask you about, you know, Central East. You played them twice. You know, you play Kennedy as well. Like, what are those two teams you think they're going to bring to the state championship games tonight? Like, where do you see some advantages that each of those teams have?
Yeah, I mean, they're two completely different teams. Obviously, Kennedy running the wing T. They're a physical football team. They're tough kids, man. We played some of our most physical games the last 2 years against them. Just getting things done in the trenches. You know, they stick their nose in there and you know, they – try to outlast you in terms of their toughness, and they do that pretty well quite often. And then Central's just such an explosive team. I mean, they can score on any play. You know, they're tough enough. The defense that they run, you know, gives their best athletes matchups, and you know, they protect the box really well. So they both are going to do well tonight. I have no doubt about that. But yeah, they're two different styles of football right there that are both showing up at the state championship, which is pretty cool to see.
It is cool, and it's been fun to follow Kennedy. And I talked to Coach Milan earlier this year and how he, you know, he's scheduled up, right? And they've moved up divisions and won at every level. How much do you think, like, toughness and them scheduling those games has helped them reach a state championship game and win that D3 Central Section as well?
Well, I think it's tremendous. I mean, for them to compete against a Division I school with athletes that aren't necessarily Division I athletes, you know, it shows how tough they can be, and even losing some of those games here and there, you know, just shows where they need to improve at too. So losing games is just as important as winning games in the terms of the process. So I think it's really good that they do schedule up like that. You know, if they're able to stay healthy through those tough games, you know, they put themselves in good position for league and playoffs. So
Ross, I want to stick with you. Yeah. So your season, you guys had a really good year. You guys won a lot of football games. You played tough. You had a lot of dudes up and down on both the offense and defense. We could get into a little bit, but like the progression, the growth of your team. What were some of the successes that you saw that you were happy about, you and your staff?
Yeah, well, this senior group we had is a pretty special group. You know, we have a what we would call a younger team. We still have a lot of young guys that are competing and having playing time, but the senior group as a core was part of, you know, a 2-8 season 2 years ago. You know, then moving on to 6-5 and then now 8-4. So they took this team where they wanted it to go. And that was kind of the biggest thing. You know, as a coach, I'm guiding, molding, trying to get them, you know, where I think they should be. But if they don't have the vision themselves, you know, the team's not going to get there. The best leadership comes from the players. So this senior group did a really good job of tackling that and putting their arms around it. You know, we had quite a bit of adversity throughout the year, and you know, they didn't waver one bit. You know, down to the last play on games we weren't going to come back and win on. They were still competing because they like to play football, and they had their, you know, best friend right next to them on the field. So it was a really good year. Great cultural presence from those seniors that are going to transfer down to the juniors and sophomores and continue this thing and keep this thing growing.
And you got a player going to Wisconsin.
Talk
about him and what he brought to the team this year.
Yeah, Donovan Dunmore, he's a special kid, and not just from his athleticism, his work ethic, you know, his ability to just work and not complain and be a leader without saying a single word. There's not too many guys like that.
Yeah.
He was a varsity player as a sophomore. A little quick story on him. So he first practice, he comes up and, you know, all right, here's the kid. He's, you know, 10-6 kid at this point and running the 100 meter. And so we get out to practice and full pads are on and we're doing kickoff drill. And I'm like, all right. And third rep comes around and he is hunched over, just panting like a dog. This tired as can be. And I'm like, how can this kid be this tired after three freaking reps? You know, I'm getting ready to lose it a little bit. And the special team coach, no, coach, watch this one right here. And you know, that fourth rep, he's beating kids down by 10 yards. He's given everything he's got. And a kid that can practice like that for special teams, for drill work, you know, that can go 100 miles an hour in everything that they do, they're going to improve quickly, and they're going to make people see them from the outside. So he got quite a good look from quite a few different colleges, which is good to see. And then, you know, when a school like Wisconsin hits you up, you know, you got to respond pretty well to that. So,
and that chase down, fumble strip recovery.
Special.
When I saw that, I'm like, wait, that just happened?
Yeah.
Like, just talk about that play. Maybe there's another play.
Yeah, we got to probably about week three, and we realized our turnover battle wasn't showing up like we wanted it to. So we started practicing a lot more turnovers from the defense side of the ball, doing different turnover drills here and there. We really started working hatcheting more, incorporating them into drills and teamwork and just trying to create more turnovers. And, you know, Clovis North, the first time we played them, they decided to run a little different offense than what we were expecting. Started doing some wing T stuff. So, you know, when you run the wing T and you don't practice it defensively against a team like that, you know, it's hard to just pick it up on the spot. So it took us a little bit to get to it. They opened up a gap. It had a couple pullers that created a couple gaps for them, and they hit it. And that, I thought the running back was gone. He was, you know, 50, 60 yards downfield running. And across the corner of the field, you see Donovan Dunmore just turning it on. And he chased him down, secured the tackle, reached over the back, hatched the ball out, and came up with it. So those types of kids can create special plays like that, which is cool.
Yeah, that was great. That was awesome. That was a great play. Yosef, what's the best way to frame your season? We broadcasted your game against Sanger. Fantastic football games. You guys fell in overtime. I was really impressed with your quarterback. But for you, after you settled down and thought about the season, how do you frame it?
I was happy with this season. You know, we grew. You know, we play in the CMAC. We're a Division III team. We play a lot of D1 teams, and we were in every game. Like, if you go watch, there was no, like, game where we got blown out. The only game that was you know, kind of out of hand was, you know, us against Mount Whitney, and that was coming from our side. So there was a lot of growth just within the program, being the fifth year and the fourth year as a varsity team. And, you know, like, just like you said, like Sanger, like, we had a chance win that with 30 seconds left. If we don't throw that pick, we just kick a field goal, you know. So we had some things go back and forth like that for us throughout the year. You know, this was a group that didn't really cause any issues. You know, they showed up, they worked hard, and they had a goal and a vision, and they showed up every day and gave us everything they had. Didn't cause any problems. It was nice to be around them. And so it was a fun football season for us. So, you know, it was successful in our eyes. And now to me, this is a group that really set the tradition, that really set the culture that we wanted, the senior group. And so now the juniors, the sophomores, and the freshmen, kind of like Coach is saying, they're gonna pick up on it and they're going to build off of it, you know. And we're not a team that's looking to get a bunch of transfers. We're a team that wants to build from within, and people that want to be there want to be there. And that's what we really want to strive on.
Are you at the point when you took over the program, started the program, right? Are you at the point where you envisioned it, 5 years ago? Is this where you wanted to be?
It's starting to get there. We're not there yet, you know. but there's a lot of things coming into place. It's kind of funny how each year something that you wanted to have happen is going to happen, you know, and this, like, we got some things in the works right now that I think are going to be really big for us and our program, especially in the community. And, you know, it's exciting to see, you know. And so we're just building, getting a lot of support from the people that we need to get support from within the district and within the admin. And so it's fun. It's football, you know. It's what we get to do every day.
That's right.
So, yeah,
that's right.
No, it's going to take about 7 years, I think. I think from talking to the guys that opened Clovis West, North, Buchanan, they all say it takes about 7 years for an athletic program to get going. I think that we've hit some bumps in the roads with some boundary issues that might push it a little bit, but we're close to getting there. We're close to getting there.
Cool. Yosef, you mentioned the toll, right? And Ross kind of said it, echoed it as well, the toll that it takes. You know, when the season ends, you reset. Like, how much of a toll does it take on you? Just kind of share with people the amount of hours you put in, you know, how you have to take care of your mind, body, and soul, and all those things, right? Just how much you pour into others on and off the field. Like, what can that do to a coach? Or what does it do to a coach like you?
It is a tool. And you got to have a good support system around you. You know, my wife, she's been a part of it since I started coaching back at Tenaya Middle School. And so she's a football wife. And so, you know, to me, it's like, you know, you kind of lose relationships as you grow in the sport because you're gone 6 months, 7 months out of the year where you're not doing anything with anybody else. And so, you know, your friends that you've grown up with, they kind of grow in their own lives and their own families, and they get their own little areas that they go into. So it's really that tight knit of your family, your immediate family, that you really got to hold on to, and they're the ones that support you. But, no, it's a grind. It's like I said, like, I tell everybody, you know, there's not many people that can not hide behind not doing a good job at their job. We put our product on display every Friday night, and you can't just go through the motions in this sport because there's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of people out there that think they can do it better, and so you have to have thick skin to deal with that, and you got to be able to deal with a lot of adversity, a lot of fires, but it can take a toll on you mentally if you don't have an outlet. You know, for me, it's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of time with my family, a lot of just, you know, really just kind of just really disconnecting. What I've gotten better at is disconnecting when I come home and being present with my family. And so that's kind of helped me there. But, no, it takes a toll on you physically, mentally, and emotionally throughout the season. It's a roller coaster.
I'm curious, Yosef, the identity part, right? How easy or maybe even how difficult is it to disassociate, like, your value as a person related to whether or not 16, 17, 18-year-old kids perform well on a football field?
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest obstacles for young coaches. It was a big obstacle for me. I always tied my identity to football. I'd always been successful everywhere I was as a coordinator and as a head coach. We've built up, and so there's going to be times where you got to deal with failure, right? And sometimes your identity gets questioned just from internally. Like, am I really good at this? Can I do this? And so as you grow older, you realize your identity is not tied to that. Your identity is tied to the values that you have, the five core values, whatever that is. And you really just hold on to those values in adversity, you know. It's like, I was talking with Gus Bradley with the 49ers, and he said to me, nobody needs a leader when things are going well, you know, which when times are going bad or the adversity hits, that's when a leader needs. And then that's when you got to step up and be like, great, it's my time to shine, you know. So how do you handle those situations? What you are as a man, and if you can look the man in the mirror and be happy with him. You know, I think that there's that poem, Man in the Glass, you know, it says it perfectly. You're going to get pats on the back as you pass, you know, and people are going to talk about you. But as long as you can look the man in the glass, you're good. And so I think that's kind of where your identity is. That my identity to me now, as I've grown in this profession, is just to be a good husband, good father, good Christian man.
Ross Buchanan, I mean, I can say this. I've been around the all the different programs at Buchanan. I know the expectations level. I know the things that are said. I know the things that are presented. Like, for you as the head coach of Buchanan, a high-level program, high-level school, like, how are you able to differentiate, or how have you been able to navigate some of those expectations and not taking things personally and all that stuff that gets wrapped up on being a head coach?
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy by any means. You grow and develop year in, year out. So, you know, I think the best thing you can be as a person, an individual person, is find a way to grow every day. You know, find a way to be better. And so, you know, the first couple of years are tough. They're tough. You're taking things in. It's personal. It's you. You know, your name's on this thing. And then you start realizing it's about the relationships you're building with the players and the community and the parents and the administration. And then you're working towards that and focusing on making each one of them better as we go through this thing. And then year after year, you know, it's the noise from the outside isn't really anything. You know, it doesn't affect me. You know, I think if anything, it affects the kids more than anything else. You know, it'll affect, you know, family members hearing things, hearing this, hearing there. But to me, it's noise. And you can't focus on noise. You got to focus on the process, you know. And so going year in, year out through the Buchanan High School way, you know, our administrators are supportive. You know, the district's a great place to be. The kids are awesome. You know, the expectations are there for a reason. You know, I don't shy away from the expectation. You know, that's the best thing about it is you want to be great when you're doing this thing. So why not have the expectation to be great? You know, we all fall short in everything we do. You know, I'm not the best husband I can be. I'm not the best dad I can be. I'm not the best coach I can be. But I'm also, you know, 37 years old and still working at it, you know, and that's the process. Yeah. So each and every day, you know, trying to get better and better. And, you know, each season's been better for me, you know, personally, better balance with my family, but, you know, better balance with my job, you know, spending times on the weekend working through the process, you know, or do I spend time with my kids, you know, and balancing that. I feel like each year it's gotten better for me and how to figure it out, and my wife and my kids and the program itself. I mean, we're, you know, 8-4 football team doing well and still growing, you know. So to me, it's not about the noise and the expectations. Those are there on my end as well. You know, I don't need to hear it from anybody else. You know, I want to win just as bad as anybody does. Sure. So, yeah, it's been good. It's been good.
Good. Have kids changed? You know, Yosef, you played at Bullard and you coached at Bullard and you've been around kids and coaching for a while now. You know, as have I at a different level, but has the heart and mind of kids changed over the last 10 years, or is that noise or distractions? Like, what are some things that are the same or maybe even different?
Gosh, you know, I might be getting too old. I might be getting older now, but I do think they have changed a bit. You know, I think a lot of it has come this look at me culture with social media and everything. And so a lot of guys really just want to get their highlights on Instagram or get a like here and there and maybe not put the work in that needs to be done. That might have been the same back then. I guess you just didn't have social media to magnify it. But, you know, as far as like loving the game, I think there's less and less kids that are loving the game. You know, I think, you know, some kids are picking some different avenues. But the kids that we do get out, you know, they're going to go through the same grind and everything that those other guys did. And I think also the transfer culture has kind of taken away some of the accountability with some of these young men and their parents. They're so quick to transfer when a coach holds them accountable or they don't get their way. And I think that's changed. You know, back, you know, when I first started coaching and when I played, you played for the neighborhood school you grew up in. And there was no other – you went to their games growing up, and you played for them, and you couldn't wait to be whatever it was. And I think that's been lost. But, you know, the kid is still hungry for leadership, is still hungry for structure, you know, and is respectful to authority when people – now, you got to show you care before they care what you know. You know what I mean? And back when we played, it didn't, you know, we didn't care. it didn't matter if our coach cared. We were going to respect him no matter what, and whatever he told us we were going to do. Now you got the relationship aspect of it. It has to be a little bit more intentional, which is great, for, I think, for kids. But, you know, in that sense that the game has changed and the kid has changed, that, you know, you have to build a relationship with these kids if you want to hold them to the standard and the accountability that is needed for this sport. And so, you know, that's a good change, I think, but that's a definite change. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Wood?
Yeah, the kids change. I feel like it's about a five-year cycle. There's a new different mentality. Something changes here or there, and, you know. But if it's about the process, it's about us growing as well and figuring that out, you right. know. And, you know, it's a trickle-down effect, I feel like, from – you know, the flashiness of the NFL to the college kids getting paid and transferring left and right. It all kind of trickles its way down into the vision of what these 16-year-old kids are seeing, right. you know, and what their parents are seeing. You know, they're seeing, oh, my gosh, this 18-year-old kid going to college getting paid $1 million, that's my son. And though that is really cool to think about and dream about, the reality is there's not many. You know, there's not many getting there. And they didn't get there from transferring somewhere else. They got there from working their tail off and showing what they have. So, right. You know, the transfer things, it's frustrating to see, you know, like Yosef said, you grow up in a community with your best friends, you know, playing football since you're in fifth grade, if that was the case, and you get to play through your 18 years old because you're not going to be able to do that ever again. You know, you're not going to be able to play with your friends anymore. Right. Football is a game. It's when it's done, it's done. You know, there's no strapping it back up when I get home on Thanksgiving break. You know, it's fun to throw the ball around, but that ain't it.
Yeah.
So the grind it takes to be a good football player, I don't know why you wouldn't want to do it with your best friends. You know, it's a really cool sport. I think it's the best sport. Obviously, that's why we do it. But it's not something that you just put away and pick up and move somewhere else to win a couple more games, you know, or to get a scholarship that you think you might get by going somewhere else. But those things are all done based off of work ethic and showing up on film, you know, and right. some of your measurables, you know, your height, your weight, some of the things that God gave you. But at the end of the day, you're not going to get more from going somewhere else. That's not how it works, you know.
Has scholarship chasing become a big issue? Like, right? I mean, yeah. Twitter, like, I hate it when I see stuff on Twitter. Uncommitted.
What's the look
right?
at
and stuff like that. Like, I hate that stuff.
Yeah, we always see it, you know, blessed to receive an offer. And you should be blessed. But at the end of the day, you're blessed to play the sport. You know, you're blessed to show your talent. You know, you're blessed that people are watching you. You know, you're blessed to have an opportunity to go to college, which is great. And, you know, with the chasing, I'm not mad about kids wanting scholarships because I think, you know, everybody wants to take that next step. What's frustrating to see sometimes is the kids that want the Division I offer. You know, they want, if I don't get a Division I offer, I'm not playing ball anymore.
Yeah.
Well, then you don't like ball. That's, you know, what it yeah. is. Let's say it how it is. You know, there's places and opportunities for everybody to continue playing, you know, all different levels. Probably 60 to 70% of a roster can find the ability to play on from high school. You know, whether it's D3, D2, NAIA, you know, JUCO. There's a lot of avenues and different places to go to continue to play if you want to play. So it's just how much do you love the game? You know, and I think that's the biggest part. So if you love it and you grind at it and you put good things on film, you know, you're going to find a home, you know, somewhere if you want it.
Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with that. I think a lot of these kids, even when they're in middle school and they're trying to, you know, if they're going here or they're going there, they're like, well, I'm going to go here because I have a better chance of getting a D1 offer or I have a better chance of getting a scholarship, which is honestly the most ridiculous thing ever. If you are that good to where you can get an offer, your film is going to speak for itself. Your resume is your film, and that's going to happen anywhere, you know. I mean, the Kendricks at Hoover, you know, look at them. They're in the NFL. You know, there's just a story after story. And it's just sad. And, you know, some coaches play into this narrative. They go out there and they actively sell this dream to these families. And that's fine. That's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. But let me tell you this. I promise you, if you are that good, you will get noticed no matter where you go. No matter where you go, you'll get noticed. And so to transfer just to chase a scholarship, or to choose a high school out of middle school just because you think that that's, you know, how do you know that coach is going to be there? How do you know that how do you know you're going to play at that program? I mean, I don't know. I want my kids to play for me. I want my guards' kids to play for me and growing up.
Feeder programs, to me, right? You see the pop and circumstance, right? Every program has a feeder program. You see the kids in their jerseys. Mm-hmm. That should mean something.
Oh yeah.
They should look out there and see the Buchanan Bears run on the field and say, "Man, those guys look big. Those guys look awesome. I want to wear that helmet one of these days."
Yeah, right? We got a funny story. So on Fridays, on game days, we try not to overload them with too much film. So we'll have some meetings here and there, and oftentimes kids will come in at lunch, and we want to watch something else besides the game we're going to play. We don't want to overthink this thing, right? We put enough time in. So a few weeks ago, kids come into the office, and we put on one of our coaches we just hired on, who's a former Buchanan football player. So they pull up his highlights. Let's watch his highlights from Buchanan. And we're sitting there watching his highlights, and the next video was an interview after a game. He had, I think, 4 interceptions that game, and so he's pretty big deal. And in the interview, you got 3 Buchanan kids that are currently on the team playing catch in the background, you know, running up to the camera back and forth. And that's what it's all about. You know, they grew up in this community. You know, they were at our games or on the field playing catch after the game, and now they're living that role themselves. So that's really the coolest thing about it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love hearing that.
Yeah.
You got some more thoughts about that, Yosef? Just the community atmosphere. I know you're building a brand, right? I mean, there's probably still people out there, Justin Garland, like they're not even sure about the program and what it's about.
Right. So you know, it's fun being at the start of something, you know, and it presents a lot more challenges than being at an established program to start something. And I've always said it takes a certain amount of courage, it takes a certain amount of grit to be able to start something from the ground up. And so the people that are involved in what we're doing in our community, you know, I got a lot of respect for and loyalty to those people, because you know, there's been a lot of guys that don't want to come to the beginning stages of this because they can go to another program that has had success. And so it takes courage. It takes some grit and takes some trust to kind of build something up, because there's going to be a lot of bumps in the road and a lot of adversity. But to me, adversity is just an opportunity to do something great. And so what we're building at Garza, we're building our little own community within that Central Unified School District. And, you know, Central East and Central West, well, Central West has been around for 100 years, you know, and then Central East has had so much success. And rightfully so. And so we're just excited to kind of cut out our little neighborhoods and start building our tradition and building our feeders and really getting our guys in the community. And so it's fun to see. There's a lot of houses developing out there.
Yep.
And you know, my first community was, you know, the Bullard area, you know. And that was what I grew up in. And then I went out to Madera, and Madera is one of the greatest communities there is. They really embraced me. They still got a lot of love for me, and I still have a lot of love for them. But coming back to this side of town, you know, to me, Garza is right there kind of in that Bullard community still, just kind of just cut off a little bit. And so you get a lot of the same families that you've seen throughout the years. I love being able to go to church and see kids I coach, kids I teach, families I've been around, from both communities. I love going to, you know, Save Mart. Hey, coach, how's it going? You know, or getting gas. Coach, go get them tonight. You know, I love that. To me, I love that. And so that's why I've always kind of stuck in my little radius. You know, I haven't ventured out. I've had opportunities to, and I like being in my community.
You're doing an awesome job. Doing a great job. Ross, what about for you? Your love of Buchanan, your love of the community, Clovis, the facilities, oh my gosh, just top-notch stuff. We got a couple minutes here. But, I mean, Buchanan, right?
Yeah,
head football coach.
It's a great place.
Great honor.
It is. It really is. I mean, the facilities are awesome. Community's great. Our academics are really high, so we can challenge the kids by putting a lot on their plate, you know, in terms of play call structures and things like that. So we're able to do a little bit more, I feel like, than some other schools maybe. And, you know, the kids are just they're good. They're good kids. You know, the parents to live in that area, you know, it's a good area. You know, and those parents had to work hard to get there. So they have some demands on their kids too. And so the kids are held accountable on a lot of fronts, which is good. Administration's supportive, but yeah, you know, we got a beautiful stadium. We got a beautiful practice facility. You know, we got a beautiful weight room. You know, it's a good spot to be for sure.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Hey, well, this was a great conversation, guys. This is exactly what I wanted for a wrap up and get into your minds and how you guys navigate the whole season. And here we are, 12 days of Christmas. So enjoy your Christmas, man. Hopefully you guys get some good stuff and give some good stuff in return and hang out with your family and watch some movies and load up on some food that maybe you shouldn't eat as much, cookies and whatnot. Yeah.
Too late.
Too late.
Too late. All right. Thanks guys.
Paul.
Appreciate it.
All right. All right, we are going to take a break. We're going to talk to Trevor Horn, kind of wrap up his perspective of this season as well. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. That was a really good conversation. I felt like we could have went a little bit farther with Ross Wood and Yosef Ferris. Hit a little bit of everything, right? Talked about their teams, talked about, you know, the toll that it takes on a head coach, coaching kids today, what's good about football, what's changed about football. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff for the final show of 2025. This is crazy. This football season especially has really flown by. I don't want to forget cross country. I got to mention Buchanan girls won state last week at Woodward, placed 17th at the Nationals up in Oregon. Volleyball, you know, Emmanuel won a state championship in volleyball. So we now transition to basketball and winter sports, and then spring will be here before you know it. So one of the dudes that I love to communicate with via the text or the FaceTime or Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, is Trevor Horn. Been on the show, I think this is time number 3. My gosh, he's going to be a de facto co-host before we know it. Trevor does an amazing job down there in the Bakersfield area, Kern County. Trev, what's going on, my friend? What are you looking at right now? Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
I just pulled off the freeway down here in Southern California because Bakersfield Christian game last night, and then Kennedy is playing McClymans tonight in the 3A game at Fullerton High School. So I took the liberty of going over to a place called Frankensons just now. It is the coolest indoor collectible flea market you'll ever see in your life. It has everything. I just sent you 2 photos of the Star Wars collections that they had there. Absolutely phenomenal. What I want to ask before we get into last night's game is I am holding a pack of 83 Tops in my hand right now, sealed. Paul, shall I open it on air and see if I get a Sandberg or a Gwynn or a Ripka?
Correct. So yeah, there should be a Gwynn and or a Boggs rookie in there. How much was that pack?
Sandberg.
$15.
Sandberg rookie too.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
How much was the pack?
$28.
What'd you pay for it? So okay, you're taking a chance. You're taking a little gamble. Okay. Yep. I was thinking maybe $15, $20. All right.
Joe
open it up.
Dickie Thorne, Toby Hara, Ben Sheen. If you guys follow One Pack, this is exactly what we do all day long. We just watch dudes open packs. Fred Staley, Phil Gardner, hey!
All right.
Jim Eisenreich, Dave Smith. We have got a 82 stolen base leaders with Ricky and Rock Reigns. I'll take that.
Not bad. Take that.
Leon Robbins. Charlie Huff still looks like he's 90 in 1983.
A manager
card. Brad Haven. A Fred Lynn All-Star and a Joel Youngblood. That was a hot pack of garbage.
No Gwynn, no Sandberg, no Boggs. You got a Ricky.
No Ripken.
Who's the Ricky with?
Nothing.
All right.
With
you got Toby Hara. Okay, and Rock Reigns.
Yeah.
All right. Little trip down
and a Fred
nostalgia.
Lynn All-Star. Yeah, Fred
okay,
Lynn
not
All-Star.
Horrible. Yeah.
You know what? When you go to things like that, you and I both know that some of the greatest fun you can have is just opening packs. Because I also am with a bag. I also have a box of 88 Donruss that I bought for $20 for the whole box. So I'm going to have fun with that when I get back to town tomorrow.
There'll be some Hall of Famers, but remember, that's considered the junk wax era. So, yeah, $20 is about the right price.
Monetarily worthless. The fact that I get to reopen those packs like I'm 10 years old again, priceless.
Priceless. There you go. There you go. Hey, good stuff, man. I'll check out those pictures in just a second. All right. What's the best way to sum up last night's game? I watched most of it on the NFHS network. Oh gosh, Bakersfield Christian, so close. You think there's some regrets? Like, what was kind of the mood after the game? Like, my gosh, we just were so close.
Well, from a reporter's standpoint, thrilling. From a coaches and players and parents and administration and cheerleader standpoint, heartbreaking because of the way that it went down. Bakersfield Christian, I'm not even saying arguably anymore, in the greatest season in that program's history, they were 13-0, playing a Division 1A section finals, beating the snot out of Liberty, at home last week against La Habra. They looked dominating, and against an incredible St. Mary's team. And you think about everything that the city of Stockton is dealing with right now and the fact that the Rams are playing, you know, just – what, days after probably the biggest tragedy, shooting tragedy in that city's history. They're down there, you know, fighting for the community, right? So you give it up to the St. Mary's Rams. They played a heck of a game. But Bakersfield Christian was right there in it. They were down by 10, about 7 minutes left in the game. They're able to get it within three. St. Mary's has the ball with, 5 minutes left? And they're driving down the field. They get to about their own 40, and they got a fourth and X or third and X at this point. It's a throwing situation. They complete the pass, and instead of falling down with 2 minutes left in the game, the Bakersfield Christian, out of timeouts, their wide receiver decides to fight for more yards that are absolutely meaningless at that point. And within that whole situation, the ball gets stripped out of his hands, and the Eagles get the ball back with 2 minutes and 4 seconds left at midfield. Lincoln Adame, senior quarterback, 395 yards passing, by the way, last night. Beautiful loft pass into double coverage to Michael Smith, who had 10 catches for 204 yards last night for BCHS. Catches it at the 5. The Eagles have the ball, no timeouts. They try to run the Wildcat with Arnaz Lee, the sack master, who's been kind of Mike Allstott in the offense lately this season. They try to run him, couldn't get it. Try to run him again, couldn't get it. And finally, they lined up on third down, and they threw a fade route that fell incomplete, but that left him on the right hash with 45 seconds left in the game. And Cohen Peters, who is one of the most sure-footed kickers I've seen since I've been in Bakersfield, just aired it out wide left, and St. Mary's was able to take possession and do the greatest thing that you can do in a football team, and that's victory formation.
Yeah, tragedy. I watched, just so many opportunities to win that football game. The Cars have done an amazing job with that program. We've got a couple more minutes with Trevor Horn.
Michael Smith catches that ball at the 5-yard line, and everybody there goes, oh, my God.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah.
We're either going to overtime or Bakersfield Christian is hosting the trophy. There's no other way around this, right? With the sure foot of Cohen Peters and the fact that they've got 4 downs, you know, 3 down, and only 5 yards to go, you're like, there's no way they're not either forcing this into overtime or winning it outright here. And then tragedy hits and neither one of those situations comes to fruition. It was just, it was insane. And then I think the craziest thing after that, if you guys are watching the Folsom Cathedral Catholic game, we had no fog during the 4 o'clock game. But 10-15 minutes before that Folsom Cathedral Catholic game started, the marine layer just fell right onto the stadium. I'm telling you, Paul, people don't understand this. I was in the press box for the first quarter of that game. Nobody was looking at the field in the press box because it was a white screen. You could not see the field. The PA announcer, every every journalist that was in there and the statistician were watching the two big screens from the broadcast where they had taken their broadcast cameras off the top of the stadium, and everybody went down to the field, and they shot that whole game from field view because you could not see it from above because the fog was that thick. And here's the crazy thing about it. We left the stadium, not 5 minutes outside of the stadium and going north. No fog. Wildest thing. Wildest situation. Mount Rushmore of high school football experiences that I've seen as a professional doing this. Just
that's
hands down,
crazy.
How great that Big Show Christian St. Mary's game was, and that fact that Folsom beat Cathedral Catholic with their backup quarterback, mind you,
yeah,
playing
that's crazy.
And scoring 5 touchdowns last night and winning that game for the Bulldogs' 6th state title in the last 12 years. Incredible.
That's amazing. All right, Trev, you got 1 minute. Predictions for Kennedy and for Central East tonight. What are you thinking? 1 minute.
Central East is going to have, you know, they got their hands full, but, man, Kyle Biggs knows how to get those guys rolling. All my money is on Kyle and the Bengals. The Bengals tonight. Sorry, I keep forgetting that. And then Kennedy. Kennedy is going to have to play a mistake-free game. They got to keep the ball in their hands for as long as possible and not allow McClymans to get the ball. Quarterback's going to Cal Poly. O-line going to Washington. They got another skill guy going to San Diego State. They're loaded. McClymans is loaded. McClymans is a team that's won 4 state titles, but they haven't won one since 2021. This is Kennedy's first shot at a state title after making the regionals 3 times and never winning that game. Here they are playing for the city of Delano. It'll be very interesting. Can Jace DeMacoblin do what he's been doing, and that's averaging 200-plus yards a game, especially during the playoffs. It's going to be a quick game. Neither team really throws the ball all a lot. Kennedy has a chance at this one. It's going to be really tough.
All right. Hey, good stuff as always. Hey, thanks for being on the call all the time this year, Trev. Really appreciate you jumping on the show really quick. Have fun.
Hey, it's lunchtime. I'm going to Boca de Beppo. See you later.
All right, go for it. All right, hey, that is a wrap for 2025. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate everybody out there. Of course, huge thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Phil and Jerry Luna for giving us the opportunity to bring you guys high school sports. Thanks for Ryan. Thanks for Sean for being here on these Saturdays and getting everything going, setting up the tables for us. Also, thanks to guests today, Troy Brown, Tim Carey, Ross Wood, Yosef Ferris, and for Tanvir for producing the show. Have a great Christmas break, everybody. A happy new year, and we'll talk to you in 2026.